Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Governor,
well, getting back to that,
I think there's nothing but sunshine hanging over me. Let me answer that. Your question is, and by the way, I should say, if anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously, and those who feel like they want to sneakily and wear taping devices, I would remind them that it kind of smells like Nixon and water.
All right. Well, that's good. Yeah, we'll feel free to go ahead and tape you there. That's Governor Rod R. Blagojevich from Illinois. Not for long. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Thank you so much for the opportunity once again, Michael. Going to take your calls right out of the box. Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. And I feel just, you know, personally enhanced by my ability to say his name. And his chief of staff, John Harris, were arrested today, if you haven't heard, by FBI agents on federal corruption charges. Now, here's the thing. They allege that they and, I guess, others, and we'll find out in the days to come who they have engaged in ongoing criminal activity, conspiring to obtain personal financial benefits. Here's the bottom line. He was looking to sell off the Senate seat vacated by President-elect Obama. I saw that yesterday. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I saw this guy yesterday outside that window factory. You know the window factory? That's got, I think, 250, 300 employees laid off. And they said, basically, hell no, we won't go. And they, for all intents and purposes, sort of took over the plant, staged a four-day sit-in. They slept there at night. And they're not going until somebody bails them out, you know, the bailout mentality. So what does Blagojevich do? He puts on his best Fonzie jacket, his black turtleneck, flips up the collar, and he's already got that, I want to hold your hand Beatles haircut to begin with. And he's flanked by all these union people, right? And he's saying, you know, this is wrong, we need jobs, and, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And then he says something somewhat odd to me. He said, at this point, we're going to suspend doing business with Bank of America. The entire state of Illinois is going to, and I thought, wow, that's pretty bold. And then I start doing a little research on him. This guy's just bold, period. Now, it's Chicago politics. This is like the second governor in a row. The second governor in a row to be hit with something like this. And if what I heard today is any indication, this guy's going to do time. He's going to, now granted, we've only heard one side of the story. But my Lord, some of the stuff he said in these tapes. What I don't understand is why the feds didn't let this thing play through just a little bit more. I mean, it's one thing to hear Blagojevich say, yes, I need $50,000 from this guy, I need $100,000 from this guy. You know, I've got something to sell here. He's talking about a Senate seat. A Senate seat. And it's worth some money. He was talking about selling off a Senate seat like some sports agent was trying to broker a deal for Tiger Woods. Now, that's bad enough. But there was a children's hospital. Talk about insidious. A children's hospital thought they were getting $8 million, provided, according to some of these taped conversations by the feds, provided that the director of the hospital cough up $50,000 for Blagojevich personally. Now, I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking about that, and the first thing that hits my mind, I'll tell you how cynical I am. Am I surprised? No. Do I expect things like this? Yes, from time to time. Do I expect to know about them? No, probably not. Probably not. The details of the complaint were released today. He also, there was no stone unturned with this guy. I mean, none. leveraging his sole authority to appoint a United States senator for money, obviously, threatening to withhold substantial state assistance to the Tribune Company in connection with their sale of Wrigley Field, inducing the firing of Trib editorial board members that were critical of him and, I guess, his office, to obtain campaign contributions in exchange for official actions. This is absolutely, this is the worst of the worst. If what we heard today, outlined by the feds in their press conference, if 25% of it's true, in the 76-page FBI affidavit, if 25% of it's true, this guy is going to do lots and lots and lots of time. It's, you know, I've got tons of this stuff. He wanted his wife on paid corporate boards where he speculated in these taped conversations, hey, she might garner as much as $150,000 a year, promises of campaign funds, cash up front. And evidently, he's got a pretty colorful speech as well. Yeah. On November 7th, while talking on the phone about the Senate seat with, I guess, an advisor in Harris, this guy named Harris, I'll get into that later, Blagojevich said he needed to consider his family and that he is financially hurting. The affidavit states, Harris allegedly said they were considering what would help the financial security of the Blagojevich family and what will keep the governor politically viable. So what does the governor say in these taped conversations? I want to take money. I'm interested in making $250,000 to $300,000 a year. Sure, Gov, whatever you need. You just let us know. Now, my question to you, and it may seem like a very, very easy question to answer, but there's so much more involved here. And you know President-elect Obama at some point will be subpoenaed to testify. He's got to be. It's his Senate seat that is the flashpoint, the benchmark, the high watermark for this investigation. And it's not just the Senate seat. He was doing all kinds of things. But, man, taking money from a kid's hospital, the children's hospital. Basically, what he said, and I'm going to be as delicate as I can be on a national show. Basically, what he said was, yeah, they need $8 million for the children's hospital. You tell so-and-so, the director, I need $50,000. And you tell him, if he doesn't get it and get it quick, like now, then bleep, expletive him. And I'm not talking about praise him. All right. I'm thinking, you know, if you've sunk that low as a person, forget your political career, but if you've sunk that low as a person, your morals and your ethics and all of that totally out the window, then I don't know that there's any help for you. You need to be caged like a wild animal. You know, basically doing this to the public trust. And please, I don't want to hear one of these free-to-be you-and-me hug-a-tree psychobabble experts tell me, well, you know, politicians, psychologically, they're made a lot different than the normal person. They believe they're above the law, you know, and they do all this stuff. No, it's not a sickness. It's not a disease. It's not a psychosis. They're just evil. That's what they are. They're bad people. Bad people. Now, the question, I digress for a moment. I'll get back to it. The question is, does this surprise you? Well, first of all, it's Chicago. Okay, it's Chicago. Little bit of history in Chicago as far as corrupt politicians. Now, that's not to say that other cities don't have their problems. They do. But, I mean, come on, it's Chicago, for crying out loud. They run by a totally different set of rules. And you got the unions. The only thing missing in these tapes, and I'd love to be able to sit down, not that I have any juice, but I'd love to sit down and just pore over these tapes and these bugs. The only thing missing would be the Godfather theme. I can visualize it in my head. Blagojevich, in his not-so-delicate way, in his very colorful speech, evidently, not behind the podium, but certainly on a telephone call, you know, do this to the guy and do that to the guy.
Hey, how you doing? It's Kevin Blagojevich. They got me a Senate seat. I don't want to, I'm not looking to squeeze your shoes, but make me an offer I can't refuse. All right, or you wind up with a Blagojevich in your bed or something. You get the idea.
I mean, it's Chicago. When I was watching him outside that window factory, I thought, what is this? Who is this? I didn't recognize him. I was actually doing my own show and monitoring all the TVs in here, and I looked over and I thought, what is this? It's like Fonzie came out of retirement. What is this about? And then I see, okay, he's doing a photo op. He's trying to get everybody, okay, look, I'm a union guy. These are my union brothers and sisters, and we need to, but, and it's the governor. Less than 24 hours later, who is it? FBI. I'm in the shower. Could you, no, open the door. And they take him away. Of course, he's not in jail now. You know, he withholds funds to a children's hospital. He is looking to appoint, based on financial gain, a senator, a United States senator. You couldn't make a script up like this. You couldn't do it. And he's out on bail. What was it, $4,500? Are you kidding me? Okay, let's. If that were you or me, we'd be under the jail right now. They wouldn't even take us to jail. They'd just take us out in the woods someplace. Julie from Chicago, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Julie?
I'm okay. You actually beat me to it. I wanted to say that, basically, Chicago, known as the Windy City, it's not because we have just wind. We do. But it's called the Windy City because of its politics. And now the United States of America, in January, is going to get a taste of what it's like to be in Chicago.
You know, look, I've been to Chicago. I've flown in and out of Chicago on business many, many times. I've never lived there. And, of course, you have to live somewhere for a while before you understand the dynamics of how everything works. I've talked to people, and without exception, they've all said the politics, totally corrupt, totally corrupt. Well, no one's right 100% of the time or wrong 100% of the time, but Chicago comes with baggage, Julie. They just absolutely do.
Trunks. Not just baggage. trunks. You couldn't get on an airplane today with the baggage Chicago has. I was born and raised here. It goes way down in the Daley family, way back to Daley's father, and it goes all the way into the communities. And it's, you know, we stay because our family's here. Our job is here. But if we didn't have family or a job that we had to stick with here, we'd be out of here.
Julie, let me ask you something. You live in Chicago. What's the trickle-down factor? I mean, generally speaking, and I'm not saying this is the case, but generally speaking, you can't have a systematic line of corrupt politicians without corrupt law enforcement as well.
Well, I mean, Chicago's, I mean, and I don't want to put down the police in general.
Well, nobody does, but I mean, generally speaking, corrupt politicians are only allowed to stay in business, to turn a phrase, if they're protected somehow. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying. There's not a week that goes by that there is not some scandal or issue that's going on with a Chicago cop in the news every week in terms of protection, and it goes up and down.
Well, in a word, Julie, were you surprised?
Like, not at all.
Like, not at all. From Chicago, and sounded like a valley girl. Yeah, like, not at all. All right, we're talking about Governor Blagojevich and his fall from grace, and, man, it's going to be a hard one. And you know, President-elect Obama is going to be subpoenaed. He's going to have to testify. It's his Senate seat that he vacated. Look, nobody has anything that can directly tie him to any of this. But you know his name came up in all these taped conversations and the bugs and so on. I'll tell you what I think in just a second. We'll take your calls as well. 1-800-449-TALK. 1-800-449-8255. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar.
I don't care whether you take me privately or publicly. I can tell you that whatever I say is always lawful, and the things I'm interested in doing are always lawful. And if there are any things like that out there, what you'll hear is a governor who tirelessly and endlessly fix out ways to help average, ordinary working people. You might hear a couple of words that you might not hear publicly, but those are only adjectives to describe maybe some of you.
Oh, my grandparents were so smart. I was so fortunate to be raised by my grandparents, and they were so smart. They became so much wiser as I became older. Be careful what you wish for. Yeah, go ahead and tape me. Privately, publicly, I don't care. I don't know. Okay, I think we'll do it privately, if that's okay. Governor Blagojevich, down for the count. If even a percentage, a small percentage of what was outlined today by the feds is true, the guy's toast. I mean, he truly is. And this is like two in a row. One Republican, one Democrat. So you can't really get on that bandwagon either way. It just, what is it about Chicago that just brings it out in people? I mean, how do you get somebody's, this is just low life. That's what this is. I mean, it doesn't get any more baseless than this. I mean, withholding money from a children's hospital unless the director coughs up $50,000. Can you imagine throwing your life away for $50,000? I mean, that's just one thing they've got against him. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. I want to remind you to go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com. Of course, you can get Michael's fifth book there, Psychological Nudity, all the stories of the day, all of the information on Blagojevich and everything you hear Michael talk about. MichaelSavage.com. Let's go to Tom. Tom in Chicago. Thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Tom.
How are you doing this afternoon?
Very well, thanks.
Let me just say this to you. First of all, politics is the second oldest business in the world, and that's why it so closely resembles the oldest business in the world. They're all like this. One of the problems here in Chicago is that politics is a family-owned business. If your dad's a politician, you get the job. We got the Lipinskis, we got the Dailies, we got the Ryans, we got the Blagojeviches. You know, Blagojevich is a product of Alderman Mel's family. It's his son-in-law. And when Blagojevich won the governor's race, and let me just tell you that he was under investigation prior to winning the last election, as was George Ryan before him. We even vote for these people when they're under investigation.
Okay. Well, that's my question, Tom. I mean, most of us were born at night, but not last night. Politicians are supposed to serve the people. Do people in Chicago just assume that their politician is going to be crooked? And it's not so much trying to find an honest politician, but a crooked politician that's not going to hurt me too bad? Is that the way you go about it?
But be nationally fair. I mean, a senator up in Alaska just...
Oh, no, Tom, don't misunderstand. Look, I said it earlier. Chicago is not the only one. I'm just wondering, Tom, what it is about Chicago that brings out generation after generation after generation of crooked politician. I mean, it doesn't get any worse than this, Tom. This guy was as bad as it gets, and he's walking around on a $4,500 bond. Unbelievable. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of town, Chicago is. My kind of people, too. People who smile at you.
We also were surprised to learn of an extortionate attempt against the Chicago Tribune newspaper. The Chicago Tribune had not been kind to Governor Blagojevich, had written editorials that called for his impeachment, and Governor Blagojevich and defendant John Harris, his chief of staff, schemed to send a message to the Chicago Tribune that if the Tribune Company wanted to sell its ball field, Wrigley Field, in order to complete a business venture, the price of doing so was to fire certain editors, including one editor by name. In the governor's words, quote, fire all those bleeping people, get them the bleep out of there, and get us some editorial support, close quote, and the bleeps are not really bleeps.
Oh, you think? Oh, Rod Blagojevich, son, what were you thinking? Well, again, that last caller, Tom, he was right. It's not just Chicago, but it's like, you know, every city has sort of a perceptual persona, does it not? And Chicago has that corrupt politician persona. I mean, what is this? This is number two, right? Two in a row. One Republican, one Democrat. We'll get an independent in there someplace. It just, does this surprise you, truly? Arrested today, just 24 hours after he did that photo op with all his union friends, alleging that they, if we can, I want to hear the part about the children's hospital. I mean, when I heard that, I mean, not much surprises me. You know, I've been around talk radio for 12, 13 years. Not a whole lot surprises me. But, I mean, here this governor is threatening to withhold $8 million from a children's hospital if he doesn't get $50,000. Hit clip three for me.
One involves Children's Memorial Hospital, a hospital that obviously takes care of children. At one point, the governor awarded funding, reimbursement funding, to that hospital to the tune of $8 million. But he also indicated privately that what he wanted to get was a $50,000 personal contribution from the chief executive officer of that hospital. In the ensuing weeks, that contribution never came. And Governor Blagojevich was intercepted on the telephone checking to see whether or not he could pull back the funding for Children's Memorial Hospital.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend anybody in your theology. I know what mine is, but there's a hotter place in hell for people like that. I mean, that is just wrong. Is there any way we can take the money back from the little children's hospital because I didn't get my $50,000 let's see, what do you want to call it? It's not a bribe. It's not really extortion. It's just a friendly gratuity. Let's call it that. Good Lord, Washington, D.C. Bob, you're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, Rick, pretty good. I like your name. I had a friend with that name back in high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Anyways, this is nothing new. When Obama became state senator, he got his wife, Michelle, a job on the board of the local hospital in Chicago, making $300,000, in charge of minority outreach. And then he got it with a lot of the other people. Thomas Daschle, when he was a senator, he got his wife a job in the airline industry up at the top of that. And a year later, she went to work for a lobbying firm, lobbying for the airlines. And when 9/11 happened, we all of a sudden gave billions to the airline industry, not to lower prices on airfares, but just to have the money evaporate. So this stuff's been going on a long time.
Why? Why? Okay, Bob, let's look at the bigger picture, you and I, for just a second. Why has it been going on, and why does it continue to go on? Where's the selective moral outrage here? It's like people expect this to happen.
Well, we're not getting, people don't seem to know. I think the left just prefers to remain ignorant of all the abuses that are going on.
Well, I want to be fair here. It's not just the left. The last Chicago governor that took it in the backside because he was doing essentially the same thing was a Republican. So, you know, greed knows no political affiliation. You know, I gave you some statistics yesterday about liberal households and the fact that they donate less, 30% less than do conservative households. And not my figures. I've got other things to do. But government figures show that. So, but there is no political affiliation on greed necessarily. There's a different interpretation of it, I suppose, more often than not. But good Lord, I mean, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, straight, gay, tall, short, transsexual, tricycle. It doesn't matter. You know, what this guy was doing, it doesn't get lower than that. And the guy's walking around with a $4,500 bail. I mean, I don't know. I guess I need to check my pulse. If this didn't, you know, speed up my heart rate a little bit, I guess I'd have to figure out what was wrong with me. My concern is, where is everybody else's voice? You know, why do people in Chicago put up with it? Why do people in the United States put up with it? Matt calling from Chicago. Matt, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Matt?
Hi, Rick. Thanks a lot for taking my call tonight. Just wanted to chime in here. You said two for two a moment ago. A little bit more history there. You said, George Ryan, the former governor, is behind bars at the moment. The poor guy that decided to run up against Rod Blagojevich two cycles ago had the unfortunate last name of Jack Ryan. Everyone kind of viewed him as an underdog going up against Blagojevich. And it turned out there was a sex scandal involving him wanting to take his wife to some sort of sex club in Europe or something.
Oh,
and basically had to bow out of the election. So Blagojevich kind of won by default in the first place here. So you're absolutely right. It's on both sides. Corruption in Chicago is just out of control. And I will say you were making a question or a point about the Chicago police force a little while ago. They have taken a recent step in the right direction there. They had to go so far as to hire an outsider as the chief of police, a guy named Jody Weiss here. And from all accounts that I've heard from a few of the cops that I know, they just absolutely can't stand the guy for being an outsider because he's trying to clean up the whole system.
Yeah, but see, Matt, many times it takes an outsider to come in, you know, a guy that's not a part of the local Good Old Boys network. Because generally speaking, and there are exceptions, Matt, as you know, but generally speaking, a corrupt political machine can't stay corrupt for any length of time without some protection somewhere. And generally that comes from local law enforcement. But I'm sitting here thinking, man, I was trying to go back in the archives of my brain, what's left of it, and I was going, yeah, Matt's right. You know, that guy, there was some kind of scandal in Europe. I don't even recall what it was. I mean, does the state of Illinois Department of Corrections have a separate wing just for politicians, Matt?
No, they don't. That's why you got to have the feds come in.
Yeah.
I mean, Rick, this goes back, I mean, everyone's seen the movie The Untouchables. I mean, this goes back to, I mean, even before Capone and all those guys, because they're protected by the aldermen, protected by the cops, and that's more mob stuff. But guess what? They all have ties to the politicians.
Yeah, it all goes back to the same point, doesn't it? Matt, I appreciate the call. Las Vegas, Derek. Derek, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Derek?
Hey, good. Thank you very much for taking my call.
You bet.
I hear all these problems in Chicago, obviously the big one today, and Las Vegas is not isolated from those kind of problems. We have the same kind of problems here in Las Vegas.
Of course.
But my question is how do we fix the problem? We have a problem here. We've talked about it. We know there is. Let's fix the problem. How do we do that? It sounds to me like we need to have somebody that doesn't have any sort of ties to the political scheme of things, and I throw a solution out here, proposed solution. Let's take a person from some other part of the country that has no job, graduated college, has an accounting background, had to put themselves through college and really had to suffer to get through college, work two or three jobs. Sounds like that's kind of the ethics that we need. Put him in a position of oversight of Chicago. And it will, obviously, there'd have to be a lot more of these kind of people, but let's make an oversight committee of people that had to rough it through their life, but also have a little bit of G, too. Now, I don't even know how to buy a stock, let alone understand the stock market, but I'm not stupid either. But we need some people here that know numbers. So let's get a person that's graduated, has some MOS, has a stick-to-itiveness to go through college, and give them the authority to oversee these kinds of people in these various offices. Would that not help? That's a question.
No, Derek, it's a great, great theory, and it has been tried. Citizen oversight committees, particularly in law enforcement, you know, so unfortunately, most of the people that end up on those committees or those boards are radical activists with an axe to grind and an agenda, so it never works out. You know, the wheels finally come off that wagon at some point in time. But that citizen oversight committee is a great idea in theory. The problem is if you take a lamb or several lambs and you put them in the den of wolves, what happens? They get eaten up. That's what happens. I mean, if you're talking about a political machine that is so corrupt that it goes from the top to the bottom to law enforcement to just everywhere. How do you get a handle on that?
I don't know. It just, you know, I've heard of some companies just going in and wiping everything out and let's hire new people.
Starting again. You know what? It works in business from time to time. You know, if a business model becomes obsolete, if time has passed it by or the economy changes or what have you, many times you have to go in. You have to gut the whole thing, personnel-wise, sometimes machinery-wise, technology-wise, and start again. The idea is good. The theory is good. The service is noble. But you don't have the people in place that can pull it off. So what do? You have to clean house and start again. That's why I'm a big term limits guy. You know, where is it written that once you get elected, you are never, ever, 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 ever to go back into the private sector? You know, there's no incentive there to serve the people because you're not going to go back with the people. You stay inside the beltway. I absolutely believe 100% in term limits. You go up, you do your thing, you go back where you came from. You know, at one point in this nation's history, that's what it was all about. They took the banker, you know, the general storekeeper, the farmer, the rancher, whatever it happened to be. Okay, you go to Washington, you speak for us, right? And then after so many years, you come back. And guess what? You have to live with the people that you worked for that period of time. That's not the dynamic we have at play now. Being a politician now, for whatever reason, is a lifelong vocation. And obviously, it's going to be corrupt with that dynamic at work. Chicago, for God's sake. I mean, at some point in time, somebody's got to put the brakes on. And we've all read stories about this guy went after organized crime, and this guy went after corrupt politicians, and this guy... Basically, we're becoming little miniature Mexicos, right? Everybody's on the take. Everybody's tainted in some form or fashion. Chicago, once again. Bonnie, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi. You were asking earlier, how does this keep going? Well, let me give you a little microcosm. Why my family left the business, their business from Chicago. And that is, if you put a Republican sign in a window, if you put a Republican sign, you will have an inspector at your door inspecting your electrical, your water, whatever, and they will find something to shut you down because they have passed such strict laws, and they've done it for this reason. They've done it to control the machine, that there is no dissent, there's no, and you try it. You try going during an electoral season into Chicago and find Republican signs somewhere. You won't find them.
You know, I take you to your word, Bonnie, because I don't live there, but I can only imagine. I know what the protection racket is all about. You know, I have seen that firsthand. But, you know, finding a decent and honest and willing to work and not be beholden politician is becoming a rarity. And, you know, if Blagojevich is any indication, the political machine is alive and well in Chicago. Alive and well in Chicago. I'm sorry. You know, I give no quarter to people like this. They have absolutely violated the public trust. They have, this guy is an example, the lowest of the lowest of the low. And he's walking around today on a $4,500, isn't that what it was? Yeah, $4,500 bond. I mean, the guy was literally trying to manipulate who was going to be a United States senator based on how much he would get for selling the seat. Stay with me. The man was trying to sell a seat in the Senate, a senator's seat. Do you understand that that's a slap to every man or woman that's ever put a uniform on, that has ever upheld the Constitution? I'm not being maudlin or overdramatic here. This country is worth something. This guy is a traitor to his own country. To his own countrymen, for God's sake. And he shouldn't have a bond. No bond whatsoever. You know, you stay in prison until we convict your sorry butt. I'm getting too drove up here. This is Rick Roberts. We're going to come back, take every one of your calls. I know you folks in Chicago, that you feel like you're being picked on. I'm not picking on you. It's that perception of Chicago politics. And I guess if you're looking for a bright spot, Blagojevich, represented you very well. You know, there's got to be some honest politicians. I'm sure there are. But good grief, at some particular point in time, you have to sit still and say, okay, this is enough. This is just enough. You know, you're out here working two jobs, trying to put food on your table, give your family a quality of life. You're putting up with all the nonsense from the city, state, and federal level. And then, you know, this idiot wrapped in a moron does this kind of stuff. You know, I'm sorry, there should be no bail for him. None. He's a traitor to his country, to his countrymen, to his city, to everybody. And he's walking around tonight going, boy, this is a mess, isn't it? Honey, you want to make me another martini? Yeah, I got to. I'll tell you what, have those attorneys come on in. Well, bring them in one at a time, all right? You got some little sandwiches or something? Okay, fine. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage.
Heard my mama cry. I heard her pray the night Chicago died. Brother, what a night it really was. Brother, what a fight it really was. Glory be. I heard my mama cry.
Governor Blagojevich has been arrested in the middle of what we could only describe as a political corruption crime spree. We acted to stop that crime spree. The most appalling conduct Governor Blagojevich engaged in, according to the complaint filed today or unsealed today, is that he attempted to sell the Senate seat. The Senate seat he had the sole right under Illinois to appoint to replace President-elect Obama.
Welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. You're on the Savage Nation. I want you to take some time, go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com. That's the only place you can get Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, all the stories of the day, a lot more on Rod Blagojevich. And, of course, we'll keep you up to date with that hour by hour as details keep breaking. And trust me, details will be breaking. And, you know, I've got to point out the painfully obvious. What was it Obama's camp said? They said, oh, yeah, we don't know the guy. Okay, fine. Yeah, you were a state senator in Illinois, but you don't know the governor. Fine. And no one has directly, I got to be honest, no one has directly tied in any way, shape, or form President-elect Obama with Blagojevich. But as I said earlier, most people are born at night, but not last night. You can't operate, work, recreate, socialize. You can't get anywhere politically in that vacuum of corrupt politicians without some of it coming off. You just can't. What was it? Somebody said you can't work in a sewer without, you know, picking up a smell once in a while. Now, that's not to say that an honest politician can't be found in Chicago, but if you've got his name, I'd like to know who it is. It just, at some point in time, this thing is going to get bigger and bigger. Political careers are going to be ruined. We're going to get more and more information. And yes, speculation is going to run rampant. And some of it has to be warranted. You can't be a senator in Illinois and have Blagojevich and everything that he is alleged to have done without getting some taint on you some way, shape, or form. You know he's going to be subpoenaed at some point in time to testify. It was his Senate seat that was vacant that Blagojevich was trying to sell, for God's sake. All right. We're going to take your calls on that Let me hear. Forgive me. I don't mean to be redundant. This just, even as a cynical talk show host, this just slays me. Here, let me hear the cut about the Children's Hospital again. This is amazing to me.
One involves Children's Memorial Hospital, a hospital that obviously takes care of children. At one point, the governor awarded funding, reimbursement funding, to that hospital to the tune of $8 million. But he also indicated privately that what he wanted to get was a $50,000 personal contribution from the chief executive officer of that hospital.
Unbelievable. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I'll just answer this one question. I had no contact with the governor or his office, and so I was not aware of what was happening. And as I said, it's a sad day for Illinois. Beyond that, I don't think it's appropriate to comment. Okay?
Has he expressed a preference, however, on who might replace him in the Senate?
He has not. I know he's talked to the governor, and, you know, he's... there are a whole range of names, many of which have surfaced,
I thought he said he didn't talk to the guy. Which is it? Somebody didn't get the note. No, I didn't talk to him. I don't know him. I've seen him around. I don't know. Wait a minute. You're a state senator in Illinois, and you've never had an interaction with a governor. Come on, please. You see, this is what I'm talking about. You know, this is exactly what... This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on The Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. This is what I'm talking about. Stop treating us like we're 5 years old. Stop talking down to us as though you possess some special political gene that, let me try to explain it, if I may, in a way that you can... Well, that you unwashed masses can somehow understand the gravity of the situation. No, well, I understand exactly what happened. once again, a politician puts himself above the law, above the people he has sworn to serve, is corrupt as the day is long, and is just flat. I'm sorry, man. He's just evil. That's what he is. And Barack Obama, you know, Barack Obama should have been out in front of this locomotive as soon as the first shoe dropped. You know, I'm no political strategist. You know, I'm just a guy that's been around for a little bit in talk radio, and I've seen it time and time and time and time again. At the highest level of political office, they have handlers that just absolutely, as we used to say in the South, dumber than a bucket of hair. I mean, good Lord, you get out in front of this thing. Yeah, I've talked to him several times, and, you know, I'm disappointed. I'm disheartened. I'm sad. It's horrible. You know, never in my associations with a governor has anything, any indication of this ever come up. First of all, bull crap. Second of all, you had to know something. You don't live in the vacuum of a corrupt political machine like Chicago as a state senator and not know what's going on, or at least partially know what's going on. And if you had any appreciation for the American people, you would realize that most of us know that. So just come out front and say so. You know, nobody's indicting you. Nobody's knocking on your door. A president-elect, time to go. FBI, nobody's doing that. You know, but just don't insult the intelligence of the American people. Believe it or not, I think we've come to the threshold where the American people are sick of being treated like they're deaf, dumb, and blind. I truly do. Patrick in Miami, Florida. Patrick, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Patrick?
Rick, I'm doing fantastic. I just wanted to thank you for your commentary. I really enjoy what you've been saying, and of course, I'm a Michael Savage fan. But one of the things that really bothered me is that you said that you're an admitted optimist, and I, for a radio show person, I understand that.
Right.
But one of the things that concerns me is that in your education, you know that the definition of politics, if you break it down, poly means many.
Yes.
Ticks are blood-sucking parasites. So you shouldn't look at politicians as being possibly honest.
I haven't heard that. That's good. That's good. Look, I do know some very, very good people. Good people that were in politics and are in politics. They're very good people. But as I was telling someone else during the break, Patrick, I went to high school with a guy. And, you know, we had biology class together. And we played football together for a period of time. And then he moved off to Tulsa, Washington. This kid was, I mean, this guy, even as a young man in, I think, what was it, ninth grade, you could just tell this was a stand-up guy. This was a guy that when he said something, you could believe it. Which, you know, for ninth graders is not always the case. He worked hard, first one on the practice field, last one off. He wasn't extremely big or extremely fast, but this guy had his heart, a heart as big as all outdoors. And as a congressman, he was the same type of guy, a stand-up guy. But the political machine takes its toll, and, you know, for a guy to go into that machine and come out still with his morals intact and his conscience and everything else, I mean, he is absolutely, if you're looking for a role model, look for an ex-football player named Steve Largent, because he's it. And, I mean, this guy is absolutely top shelf, top shelf. And I know other people that are the same way. But Patrick, as you so eloquently put it, it is a machine. It is the dynamic of the business. And you have to get dirty many times to get anything accomplished. Not all the time, but many times. And many people will take you know, the line of least resistance. And what happens? You do that often enough and you get dirty. I just, at some point, Patrick, the people have to rise up. And I know that's a, I don't know, that's a buzz term, I suppose. But literally rise up and say, no, we're not doing this anymore. If you do to the public trust what Blagojevich has done, there is no bond. There is no bail. You will set in an 8x12 until it's time to go to court. Patrick, very good call. Please don't be a stranger. And thank you for the kind words about Michael. Andy in New York. Andy, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Andy?
Fine, thanks, Rick. You know, I'm often reminded of an ancient Greek by the name of Diogenes who went walking around with a lantern in daytime looking for an honest person. You know, you brought the point up quite aptly. What are the people? What can we do about it? Until the media hops all over this, and we know the media is this biased towards the right. Towards the left. That's their people. They're going to protect them, and they're not going to really expose this to get the outrage of the people to finally demand justice on all this. And I'm here in New Jersey. We got this guy named John Corswine, who's as big as a crook as anybody out there. He also happens to be a Goldman Sachs boy, also our governor. And when I think about the governor of Illinois and the governors throughout this whole country, that, you know what? They're nothing but a bunch of people who belong to a cult. And you know what? The masses, I believe, buy into this stuff. They're stupid. Some of them are stupid anyway, and they really don't demand that we want honest politicians, that we want people to take responsibility and accountability. And that's why I feel I see the country heading the wrong way. And, until the media are only voice that can inform the masses about what's exactly going on, we're going to continue to be naive, uninformed, and hey, you know what? So what? He did that. Everybody does that from time to time. So
okay.
What?
Okay, that's it. That's it right there. Right, you just nailed it. That seems to be the common thread in the American conscience right now. Well, yeah, he did it, but they all do it. You know the drill, Andy. Yeah, he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar, but you know what? They all do it. They don't all do it. Not to this level. It seems as though the American people are no longer shocked or rocking back on their heels. It's like we're complacent, we're apathetic, we're asleep at the wheel.
Did you notice how quickly Obama recused himself from answering any more questions?
Yes.
He said, and that's all I'm going to do. And you brought that up, and that was quite clever when you did that. And that just goes to show he knows a lot more. Like you said earlier, if I know something, the common man of the Commonwealth, if I know a lot, then these guys know a heck of a lot more. And he recused himself immediately.
Okay, for Andy, because that was an important juxtaposition, if you will, because that was done on purpose, Andy, and I'm glad you got it. Play those two cuts back to back. And Andy, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very, very much. Play that again.
Hold on a second, guys. I'll just answer this one question. I had no contact with the governor or his office, and so we were not. I was not aware of what was happening. And as I said, it's a sad day for Illinois. Beyond that, I don't think it's appropriate to comment. Okay.
Has he expressed a preference, however, on who might replace him in the Senate?
He has not. I know he's talked to the governor, and he's. There are a whole range of names, many of which have surfaced, and he's I think he has a fondness
David,
for a lot of
feel
them.
It should...
Okay, well, again, someone didn't get the 4x5 card from Obama's handler saying, you don't know anything, I know nothing, I see nothing, but I'm going to do something, guys, that I don't normally do. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I listen very carefully because it's my business to listen to conversations. That first cut, the first cut only, I want you to start that, and I want everybody to listen. What you're going to hear, let me put it to you this way. A lot of guys come to me that are just getting in the radio business, and I tell them, okay, you need to watch this and you need to watch that because you get into verbal crutches. When you hear somebody say, look, and then they start their sentence, or you hear someone say, I tell you what, and then they start their sentence, that's a verbal crutch. That gives their brain time to catch up with what they're saying, and so they can form an opinion, because talking and thinking sometimes are very difficult. But what I heard was a reversal. What I heard Obama say was, we didn't know, but he stopped himself and said, I didn't know. What did that do? Well, if you critically listen to that, what that did, that insulated him personally from anything he may have had done by a second or third party or someone that was working on his behalf or within his staff. You see what I'm saying? We didn't know. Well, wait a minute. That's a different statement than I didn't know. Play the first bite, and I'll tell you when to stop it.
Hold on a second, guys. I'll just answer this one question. I had no contact with the governor or his office, and so we were not. I was not aware.
We were not aware. I was not aware. Why not continue with we were not aware? We includes you, so we were not aware. Unless you think, possibly, someone working on your behalf, second or third person removed, may have had something to do with some interaction with the governor. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here. All right. We're going to come back, take more of your calls. 1-800-449-8255. 1-800-449-TALK. Well, Blagojevich, just carrying on an old family tradition, as Hank Jr. would say, in Chicago politics. Your call straight ahead.
Savage.
I'll just answer this one question. I had no contact with the governor or his office, and so we were not. I was not aware of what was happening. And as
okay.
I said,
all right. Actually, okay. Play it. Well, I'm sorry, guys. I'm not trying to be redundant. I'm trying to impart something here. I do a lot of things, but one thing I probably do better than most is I critically listen to people. You know, it's like someone once told me. In a law school setting, people will always give you a bit of the truth, even when they're telling you a lie. But you have to listen for it. You have to listen for it. And I'm not saying President-elect Obama's lying. I'm just saying he's not being totally forthright. All right, play it again, and there's two glitches. Go ahead.
Hold on a second, guy. I'll just answer this one question. I had no contact with the governor or
Stop.
His office.
He started to say, I had no contact with the governor whatsoever. That's pretty broad. So he stopped himself, and he said this. Go ahead.
Hold on a second, guy. I'll just answer this one question. I had no contact with the governor or his office, and so we were not. I was not aware.
We were not. Okay. Well, we's pretty broad as well. He would then be speaking for everyone that was in his sphere of influence or under his supervision. So he stopped there. And see, here's the thing. Barack Obama is very, very, well, I don't need to tell you this. He got elected on it. He's very good on script. If he's got the script, nobody's better. You take him off script, and he's like a babe in the woods. He's like a neophyte, politically speaking. He absolutely is a mess. Same thing with Bush. With Bush, you put Bush in a pair of jeans leaning up against a wooden three-rail fence in Crawford, Texas, and, man, he is in his element. He's comfortable. He feels in control, even though he may not be, and he comes across very relatable. You put him in a shirt and tie and a suit behind a podium in the Rose Garden, and he's absolutely a blubbering idiot. Well, that's the Achilles heel to politicians, is being able to critically listen to them when they're not in their element. If Barack Obama had been smart, he would have canceled this global warming summit. For to use a term with Al Gore, the planet has a fever, and would have just basically for no way, no how is he going to get in front of anybody until he's rehearsed what he's going to say. But he didn't. He shot from the hip. Mistake. Jerry in Chicago, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Rick. Just want to say I love when you're substituting for Michael. Like Michael's show, I just can't wait till you get syndicated here in Chicago someday.
You're very kind.
Just wanted to point out a little irony about this whole thing is that Rod Blagojevich's wife is the daughter of a former alderman in Chicago by the name of Richard Mell, who was really instrumental in getting Richard Daley elected after Harold Washington had died. There was an interim mayor that he orchestrated to kind of get in there temporarily until they can kind of forklift Richie Jr. into the mayoral position. And now I understand she, too, may be implicated in all of this. And they have been kind of enemies ever since they got married. They're kind of estranged. So it's just kind of ironic because one of the things that that Rod Blagojevich was standing up against Richard Mell was that how corrupt Richard Mell was. And now he's come full circle. And is actually in even more trouble.
See, Jerry, that's the point. It's like a bunch of inbred cousins from the Ozarks, nothing against the Ozarks, where, you know, you can't be a part of the process unless, you know, you're related to so-and-so on his cousin's mama's side. And it's like it just perpetuates itself. There's got to be someplace to chop down the family tree and start again. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the opportunity once again. I want to remind you, michaelsavage.com. Take some time, make some time, and sit down and go to michaelsavage.com. You'll find all the news stories of the day. Of course, many of the things Michael talks about. Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity, is there. That's the only place you can get it, Michael's fifth book. The previous four, all bestsellers. I'm sure the fifth one, Psychological Nudity, will be a bestseller as well. It's a great read, a compilation of all the stories that you hear on the Savage Nation, whether it's, I could go on and on and on about the book. I don't want to give anything away other than if you're a Michael Savage fan, if you love the stories that Michael tells about his dogs and his life, basically, you need to get this book, all right? Psychological Nudity. Let's go to your calls. No, Obama never talked to the guy. Maybe you've seen him around, something like that. Okay, fine. Yeah. You're a state senator in the state of Illinois. Blagojevich is the governor. You can't tell me. Well, I know they've had to talk. I've seen pictures of them together. Do they just show up and look at each other and stand and hold hands and take the picture? Come on. Let's go to your calls. New York, Ken. Ken, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Ken?
Good, good. How are you, Rick?
Doing very well.
It is an honor. It is an honor to listen to you. I get a kick out of this Barack Obama thing, you know, and I love the excerpt you just played, you know, he is so quick to disassociate himself with anything, you know, back to the preacher, back to everything. You know, he's so elegant with words.
Oh, he's very, Ken, he is a wordsmith. When it comes to someone else, you know, sitting down with him, okay, you're going to say this, and we need this inflection. I want you to kind of squint your eyes and look up a little bit, because that scent makes you look very caring, very like, oh, I'm searching in the heavens for the right answer. Yeah, he's very good with that. He's just not very, he's horrible. He's a mess when he gets off script.
Well, you just said it, you know, like with George Bush, you know, you put him on the spot. If it's not rehearsed, oh, my Lord, you got a mess. I mean, it's the same thing with Barack.
It's a train wreck. Ken, you're obviously a Michael Savage fan. We appreciate that. What's your favorite story that Michael has told? What are you looking forward to in the book Psychological Nudity?
I would love to read the story, you know, my first autopsy. he's got several in there that I've heard excerpts of, and I've read excerpts of, and I've loved it. And I just think it's a super, super good book.
Ken, I want you to stand by for just a second. I'm going to make sure you get a copy. If you don't already have one, if you do, give it as a Christmas gift. It's a great Christmas gift, by the way, because it's a great read, because it's a compilation of all these stories. You'll like it. So, Ken, stand by. Want to make sure you get your copy of Psychological Nudity. You can also get your copy at michaelsavage.com. Chicago again. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing real good. It's sort of a drag being from Chicago and Illinois, you know, this state of city of corruption. It's like the cabal. But my question to you is, it's like, really, man, here's a question I have. Why didn't he let the investigation go on? I mean, personally, I'd like to know who was willing to pay to be a senator. I mean, as the attorney for the Northern Illinois, he was the special prosecutor on Scooter Libby. He got the goods right away that it was Armitage who leaked it, and later let this play out and play out and play out and play out. I would have liked to see him play this one out to see who wants to pay to be a senator, because that's pretty interesting to know who all the players would have been involved in this. Because in this state, it seems to me like the only difference between Blagojevich and a lot of the other guys is they haven't been caught yet.
Well, you're probably right, Patrick, and I'll be honest with you, my friend. I said out loud the exact same thing when this first came down. I said, oh, man, I understand the inauguration's coming up, and you don't want to taint that and all of that, but why didn't they let this thing play out a little bit more and really throw the net over these people? And then it came to me, Patrick. I thought, well, they just came out on Governor Blagojevich this morning, and they already told us They're reviewing the tapes. I think that's probably code for other folks are going to fall on this thing. I think the reason they didn't let this thing play out is probably because they don't need to let it play out. They probably have enough right now. I said it before, political careers are going to be over at some point. Blagojevich is the first step. I think they've got enough to take a lot of people down on this. We don't really know at this point, Patrick, what they have as far as the tapes, the wiretaps, and everything else. But this guy, as you say, this prosecutor, he knows what he's doing, and he is feared. Because I even heard that when this guy takes on a case, they started an investigation, he doesn't take off for weekends, he doesn't take off for holidays. You know, he basically is just laser-like focused on what he's doing. And I'm guessing, Patrick, they didn't let it play out because they don't need it to play out. They've got enough without that.
You know, he actually gave a phone number and said, if, you know, you're involved in this, now's the time to call us. And here's another one, kudos. I'm a George Bush guy. I disagree with him. But when George Bush's second term was up, there was tremendous pressure in the state of Illinois to get rid of Fitzgerald, special prosecutor, and George Bush said no. And thank goodness he did, because who knows, because the guy before him was a hack. He was a hack that worked for the politicians. He didn't indict anybody.
Now, Patrick, you're right on point, and I appreciate the call from Chicago very much, Patrick. Don't be a stranger. Let's go to Portland, Oregon. Joseph, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, I was just wondering, who's to say this isn't the normal, that every time there's a major appointment, it gets sold to the highest bidder? Maybe it has for years. We just, this is the first time we've heard of it.
Joseph, the only thing I could say to that is, I would think if it were the status quo, that we would have had that information a long time ago, and it wouldn't be such a big deal now. I mean, it's still illegal. It's still corruption. It's still, basically a violation of the public trust. I'm inclined to believe that it's not business as usual, or a lot more people would be in jail. There are enough in jail already. But, I mean, it's an interesting scenario, I suppose, I guess. You know, I don't know. Man, I am an optimist, I guess. I truly am. As cynical as I am, I'm still looking for that glass to be half full. And I just can't believe that selling off Senate seats or selling off elected position or selling off judgeships, of course it happens. I know it happens. But when it happens, man, it should be a huge deal. You should be getting up on the ladder, the one you put the Christmas lights up with. You ought to be climbing up on the roof and start screaming when stuff like this happens. Because that's not the way we operate, or it's not the way that you and I operate. And we shouldn't allow our politicians to operate that way. Grand Rapids, Bill. Bill, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, you had made a comment that you thought the people would be really upset with this, and I personally think that that's who voted him in the first place.
Well, what do you mean? What are you saying?
There's a large portion of this population that doesn't want to know the truth and doesn't want to face reality. They want to have the government give them handouts all over the place. So why shouldn't their politician get handout too if they're doing it?
Are you speaking with your tongue firmly planted in your cheek, or are you saying that's a justifiable reason to do it?
No. I'm not justifying at all. I'm an extreme conservative here. But I mean, come on, we just elected Barack Obama, a socialist, to be president.
Well, we know his record, such as it is, to be a very socialist, very liberal record. But by the same token, I don't know enough about the guy. I mean, he is the president-elect. Enough people decided that that's who they wanted. I don't want the guy to fail, Bill. Him not failing is more important than me being right. I don't want to live in this economic mess. I don't want to deal with this for another 4 years. I hope the guy succeeds in doing something right to get us out of this financial crisis, to get us out of this depression, to put people back to work and all of that other stuff. But I personally don't think that can happen if you get rid of capitalism and replace it with socialism.
No, I agree 100%, but that's what he's headed for.
Well, Bill, let me ask you a question. Barack Obama, Illinois state senator, you know, comes out in this, I guess he's calling it a preemptive move, and answers a question that he probably shouldn't answer in that venue, and says, no, I've not talked to him. I don't know anything about that. I don't know the guy, and that's all I'm going to say. Well, he said volumes by saying nothing. I think he would have been better off just to say nothing, get with his handlers, and say, okay, guys, I'm going to go out and give a press conference on this. I'm not going to take questions. Let me get covered from all four sides here. But he didn't do that. Bill, do you think that some of this taint from Governor Blagojevich some way, somehow is going to come back to the doorstep of Barack Obama?
To his personal doorstep, no. To somebody that works for him and some other people, yeah. But he's avoided all the taint so far from Ayers and Reverend Wright and everything else so far.
Yeah, well, you're probably right, Bill, and that's why, again, not to be redundant, but when he was answering that question and he said we and stopped and said I, that was his insulation. That was his arm's length distance. Well, wait a minute. A guy that worked for me did what? Well, I can't believe it. I didn't know that. Of course, I don't follow everybody around 24 hours a day. It's not, somebody told me this. It's not unlike Clinton during the impeachment proceedings. Well, what is the definition of is? I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Ms. Lewinsky. Didn't say I didn't have sex with her. He said sexual relations, which is a broad, broad highway you can drive your car all over. It's open to interpretation. And that's what people do in this position. They leave themselves open for interpretation so they can always go back and defend themselves. They always try to eke out a little defensible position someplace and set it over here to the side just in case. Just in case. I can't believe that a senator in Illinois, any senator from Illinois, whether it was Barack or anybody else, didn't have some inkling of what was going on. My God, it's Chicago. You have to know going in, hey, how you doing? Are you dirtier than the next guy? I mean, you have to think that. You have to. All right. Let me take another call here, if I can. New York, Daniel. Daniel, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Daniel?
Yeah, hi, Rick. It's a pleasure listening to you. I think you really are very well balanced.
Thank you.
I'm a taxi driver, and I talk to customers all day long, and I had this one black lady named Nina. She is so disappointed in her people because she saw through this guy from the very get-go, whereas I was attracted to him. And now with all of this stuff that keeps coming out, I don't know who he is, and I'm scared. And, you know, the big call was change, but, God, it doesn't look like we're getting any change. And my question to you is, if all these dots are connected and there is a pay patrol to Barack Obama with this governor, what do the people do about it?
Okay, basically you're asking what is the consequence, I guess. And,
yeah.
Of course that depends on what involvement there was. And already we have gone in just a short period of time here on the air, we've gone from talking about Blagojevich to now we're talking about Barack Obama. And, of course, that's the natural progression. He was a state senator. And the reason we are talking about it is because Barack Obama said he didn't talk to him. He doesn't know anything about it. I'm not answering any more questions. Okay. First of all, that speaks volumes to me, Daniel. Speaks volumes. And I'm going to tell you something that a lot of people are going to take exception with. But, I'm not beholden to anybody. I don't have any sacred cows. Credibility is everything in this business. And if you don't have it, you need to find another business. I don't care if Barack Obama, and this is all hypothetical, all right? I don't care if Barack Obama was living in the garage apartment at Blagojevich's residence. It doesn't matter. I don't care if Barack Obama was born in Somalia and never came to the United States until 2 days before the election and has no idea how to spell citizen, let alone be one. Now, obviously, I'm being extreme here in my satire. It makes no difference. At this particular junction, Daniel, no one is going to do anything to Barack Obama. The Supreme Court, they rejected the whole birth certificate thing. They're not going to do anything, even if they knew, and now I'm indicting the Supreme Court. It's not just the great court or good court. It's the Supreme Court. They're not going to do anything. No one is, because they don't want to see cities burn like they did after Rodney King. Now, you can call that racist, you can call it bigoted, you can call it whatever you want. I'm simply a student of history, and I've seen what happens when certain segments of the population, generally speaking, those people living off the government dole, those people that have been promised gifts from the Treasury by people wanting their vote, I've seen what happens when they're upset. They burn their neighborhoods, they loot the stores. No one is going to do anything to Barack Obama. If you're a conservative and you're continuing to, we got to get this guy, we got to forget it. Even if you get him, you don't get him. Does that make sense? I hope it makes sense, and I hope you understand it in the vein that I'm explaining it. The birth certificate thing, while it matters constitutionally and you have to hold that in your heart and preserve it, it doesn't matter. Not with Barack Obama. Not at this juncture in American history. No one is going to come down on this guy for anything. If there is some connection between Blagojevich and Barack Obama, it will be severed behind the scenes. Somebody else will take the fall because no one is going to keep that guy out of the Oval Office because they don't want to see the major cities in America go up in smoke.
Right, you know? Right. Listen, Rick, another thing that has touched me deeply by listening to the station is that psychological nudity. I can relate to the pants story, the dead man pants, because, God, when I was 7, 8 years old, you know, we used to go to one of these stores where you could buy, you know, a suit for like $5 and things like that. My mom would get me stuff and some of the pants I'd have to cut down, you know, with the scissor and things like that. And they were baggy around the crotch and the butt. But that's all I had to wear. And God, that's incredible.
Daniel, well, I tell you what, I want you to hang on for just a second. I want you to hang on for a second because I want to give you a copy of Michael Savage's newest book, his fifth book, Psychological Nudity. And you can enjoy that story over and over again with many, 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 many other stories that you've heard. And some of them you may not have heard. All right? So you hang on. A copy of Michael's book, Psychological Nudity, is going to come your way. All right. I'll come back. I'll take your calls. And again, I've already upset people with that last statement. It wasn't meant to upset. It was an honest observation. You know, reality is reality. Nobody's going to keep Barack Obama out of the Oval Office. It's not going to happen. Period. Too much hangs in the balance. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. And, of course, the story of the day, once again. One of the power brokers falls and falls hard. This guy, this is the lowdown. Governor Blagojevich from Illinois, and of course everybody. Well, do you think Barack Obama's involved? Okay, well, don't hammer those people. I mean, that's a valid question. The guy's a state senator. One of the main things that Blagojevich was doing, aside from robbing children of health care, was trying to sell off his vacant Senate seat. So obviously there are going to be questions. Hartford, Connecticut, Norman. Norman, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Norman?
Yeah, hi, Rick. I just wanted to say, you know, if this guy was a Republican, he probably would have been already out of office now. I mean, it's amazing the way the Democrats rally around all their scoundrels. And it's not just in Chicago. I mean, I come from a state where Governor Rowland was forced out of office, and he's asking for the resignation of the CEO of GM. And here's Senator Dodd. He bankrupted this entire United States. I don't understand. They have this sense of entitlement, and I just don't understand the way the Democrats run.
Okay, you sound, Norman, like you're a little bit at a loss for words. Is it because you're trying to figure out who the bad guys are, the Republicans or the Democrats, politically speaking? That's what I'm not talking about in general, but politically speaking. Or has what Blagojevich done is it striking you like it's striking me? I mean, this is the lowest of the low down. Is that what this is?
Well, I understand what it is. I mean, our governor, Governor Rowland, he took a jacuzzi. He had to step down from office. Okay, well, but the Republicans forced him to step down. You know,
But Norman, let me caution you. I understand what you're saying. Now I'm on track with you. It takes me a minute, but I get up to speed. I understand the double standard. Perhaps if this were a Republican, he would have been drummed out of office before now. Well, perhaps, but you got to remember the last Chicago governor that went down was a Republican, you know, and he's listening to the Michael Savage show, you know, from an 8x12 cell someplace. You know, no one, greed does not know political affiliation. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Start off. Obviously, like the rest of the people of Illinois, I am saddened and sobered by the news that came out of the U.S. Attorney's Office today. But as this is an ongoing investigation involving the governor, I don't think it will be appropriate for me to comment on the issue at this time. The purpose of this meeting here today was to listen and learn from Vice President Al Gore on the extraordinary work that he has done around the issue of climate change.
Great. Nice. No, it's not a nice save. And I'm going to get back to that in just a second. This is Rick Roberts. Setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. You're on The Savage Nation, 1-800-449-TALK. That's 1-800-449-8255. Bless his heart, you take him off script, and he is a blubbering idiot. And I mean that not literally, figuratively. It's, sure, I believe you. I believe you, Barack. You and Blagojevich never talked. Never talked. Right. I'm looking at the FBI report now. A day later, on November 11th, Blagojevich and one of his advisors discussed the possibility of Obama's wealthy supporters cobbling together a 501c4 organization for Blagojevich to run. The FBI report for the Illinois governor raised the idea of the 501c4 organization, asked whether they believed President-elect Obama and his associates could get Warren Buffett and others to put 10, 12, or 15 million into the organization. Later, Blagojevich, and these are all coming from wiretaps, all right? Bugs and wiretaps. Later, Blagojevich added another target to his shakedown list, suggesting the president-elect could ask Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and others for money for the organization. But they never talked. Yeah, I've seen him around, but I've never. You know, I love that last bite, because again, he was trying to save himself being off script. And guys, again, I don't mean to be redundant, but this is important for people to critically listen to. Go ahead and start it. I'm going to ask you to stop it here in just a second, but go ahead and start it, because he's going to put himself in the position of every other citizen of Illinois, totally surprised. My God, I can't. I'm saddened and sobered. Saddened and sobered. Who the hell talks like that? I'm saddened and sobered. Again, in a law school setting many, many years ago, the statement was, the truth, or at least a portion of it, is always revealed when the person is telling the lie. But you have to listen critically. You have to listen to what they're saying, how they say it, what the inflection is, and the words they choose. Now, would that be your response? Well, Rick, I'm saddened and sobered. No, that, again, is a verbal crutch while his mind is racing 80 miles an hour to grasp the next word, to fill in the blank. until he can find the end of this sentence to change the subject. That's what's going on. Go ahead and play.
Well, let me start off. Obviously, like the rest of the people of Illinois, I am saddened and sobered by the news that came out of the U.S. Attorney's Office today. But as this is a ongoing investigation involving the governor, I don't think it will be appropriate for me to comment.
Okay, stop. Okay, first of all, his cadence, his inflection, everything he is saying right now tells me he doesn't want to talk because everything is very mechanical, choosing, don't want to say, can't say, wrong word, or I'm done. Do you see what I'm saying? I hope you understand that. I'm not chasing ghosts under the bed. I'm simply observing. Now, it would not be appropriate for me to comment as it's an ongoing investigation. Well, why not? It's not an investigation on you. It's an investigation on the governor of Illinois, Blagojevich. Unless, of course, he realizes, which he must, he's going to be subpoenaed at some point in time to testify about what he knew or didn't know. Look, you can't get away from this. There's no way to get away from this. Chicago, Dave, thank you for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Dave?
Yeah, Rick, you know, I got so many things to say. You talked about so many things other than what I wanted to talk about. But the U.S. Attorney Fitzgerald, why was the arrest done in the middle of the night at his house? Because any time that a politician is arrested for anything, it's in their office, away from their family. That's the first point. I think the threat was that he could have called Rahm Emanuel from his house because he was being tapped from his house. So there was a threat. I don't know if you remember, like 2 days ago, how Blagojevich was really animate, you know, saying he could not be touched, he could not tap me, do whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hold on a second, Dave. Play that bite. Yeah, I mean, and I think that was, you know, what has these investigators so absolutely beside themselves. They're angry, Dave. You can hear it. You heard it this morning in their press conference. Not only was this guy arrogant, but even when he knew or had reason to know there was an investigation going on, he didn't back off. He sped it up. Listen to this.
I don't believe there's any cloud that hangs over.
Governor.
Well, getting back to that,
what
I think there's nothing but sunshine hanging over me. Let me answer that. Your question is, and by the way, I should say, if anybody wants to tape my conversations, go right ahead. Feel free to do it. I appreciate anybody who wants to tape me openly and notoriously.
Okay, all right. Well, that's what Dave's talking about. That's what you were referring to, right, Dave?
Yes. And can I make another point?
Sure.
He was desperate because he knew either he was being tapped, or maybe he didn't know it, but he knew he had to call Rahm Emanuel. And I came up with a new term. It's called Orama, meaning Rahm Emanuel and Obama together, because that's who he would have called, right?
Okay, well, Dave, let's cut to the chase in the interest of time. How do you think this thing is going to shake out in the final analysis?
Well, how I would like it to... I think he's going to be untouched because I think the media is totally on his side. And, well, I'm thinking Obama because I think that's ultimately where everybody thinks it should go.
Wait a minute. Blagojevich is the one on the tape. Blagojevich is the one that is threatening to pull $8 million from a children's hospital unless he gets a $50,000 personal gift. Blagojevich is the guy. Now, I think what I'm hearing from you is that you want to see Obama go down on this?
Well, I think there was communication between...
I don't mean to interrupt you, Dave, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they were joined at the hip. It wouldn't matter if they were the traveling Siamese twins. Nobody is going to keep Obama out of the White House. Nobody. Even if he was as guilty as the day is long, Dave... Obama is going to be in that White House. The same reason the Supreme Court rejected the one, what is it? How many lawsuits have been rejected now? There were five total. I don't remember. It doesn't matter. Even if the Supreme Court knew he was not a citizen, they're not going to rule in favor of the plaintiff. They're not going to do that because too much hangs in the balance. You think Rodney King was bad. The looting and burning of South Central would be like spitting in the ocean and trying to find the measurable difference in the volume of water. That would be, it would pale in comparison as to what would happen to this country if for some reason, by hook or crook, they found Obama complicit in something. It doesn't matter. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Too much is at stake. Too much of that. As a matter of fact, do we have the woman about putting gas in her car? Putting gas in her car and paying her her house payment? Because that is the mentality we're dealing with when it comes to the ardent Obama supporter. I want you to listen to this, Dave, and multiply it by a couple million. Go ahead.
Peggy Joseph took her daughter out of school early Wednesday for this. Her emotions ran high following Obama's speech.
It was the most memorable time of my life. It was a touching moment because I never thought this day would ever happen. I won't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I won't have to worry about paying my mortgage. You know, if I help him, he's going to help me.
Okay, I want you to get a hold of that. And for all of you hypersensitive, free-to-be, you-and-me, hug-a-treeers out there, it's not racist or bigoted to point out what is obvious. I don't have to worry about putting gas in my car. I don't have to worry about making my mortgage payment. He said, meaning Obama, if I help him, he'll help me. And I don't care if it's the citizenship issue. I don't care if it's the Blagojevich issue. Doesn't matter. Anybody that stands between Barack Obama and that Oval Office will be viewed as some kind of right-wing conspiracy nut. It'll be a giant conspiracy on Barack Obama, and this country will burn. There will be looting and fires and riots in every major city in this country if Barack Obama doesn't sit down in that chair behind the desk in the Oval Office. And that's not a racist thing to say. It's not a bigoted thing to say. It is a natural outgrowth of reviewing the history of this country, and if people don't get their way on something, that's what happens. That's what happens. All right. More of your calls straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. I want to remind you once again, go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com for Michael's fifth book, Psychological Nudity. That's the only place you can get it. Also, the continuing developments in the Illinois Governor Blagojevich, his troubles, which are just going to grow. And there will be political careers that will be ended, and ended dramatically in this thing. Some people are speculating Jesse Jackson Jr. may be caught in the switches here. Look, it goes without saying Blagojevich didn't do this by himself. I mean, he may be a smart guy, but nobody's that smart. It's like Chicago politics, corrupt to the very core. That's the perception, at least. I'm not saying that every politician in Chicago is mobbed up or a wise guy. I'm just saying, hey, nobody does it by themselves. All right? Sacramento, Joe. Joe, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing pretty good. Rick, nobody ever said that President Bush was a great orator, including himself, but yet Obama is supposed to be this great speaker, but unless he is reading off a teleprompter, this guy fumbles and stumbles around like a drunk looking for a light switch. And this Blagojevich, he is typical of the corrupt, far-left liberals who have supported Senator Obama since he was a councilman in Chicago all the way up through the Illinois legislature and up to the U.S. Senate. So, this country's getting what they voted for.
Well, Joe, listen, I agree with a lot of what you said, and something else came to mind when you were talking. I suppose we can assume that Barack Obama was the one Chicago politician, the one politician in the state of Illinois that was able to maneuver his way through the political rapids without getting dirty. I don't believe that. I don't believe based on the wiretap information and the bugs and all the rest, I don't believe that he was in Blagojevich's pocket or vice versa. But nobody can maneuver the rapids of Chicago politics without getting dirty somewhere along the line, Joe.
Exactly. He's always on the periphery. He's always got somebody taking the fall for him. He's got somebody explaining things for him. But yet, who's he rubbing elbows with? He's rubbing elbows with the radicals, the far-left liberals, the socialists, and he just always manages to remove himself just enough that he doesn't get quite muddied up like everybody else.
Well, Joe, it's a valid point. I will say this as an addendum to your call. While, yes, he is very, very good at keeping an arm's length distance, just enough to be out of harm's way, you know, a lot of those radical leftists that you speak of are now now coming down on Barack Obama, saying he's too centrist. He hasn't even been sworn in yet. He's too centrist. He's moving toward the middle too much. Well, God forbid Barack Obama move to the middle. You know, I've said this all the years I've been in talk radio. You know, it's like the pendulum. You know, it always swings too far to the left or too far to the right. You know, in the circle of life, that's just a step away from being in each other's shoes. Most people don't live on the far left, nor do they live on the far right. Somewhere in the middle where that pendulum slows down is where most of us are. So God forbid the leader of the country be somewhere in the middle, where he should be, by the way. But having said that, I don't know, you know, you can correct me if you don't agree, but I don't know that even if you get some dirt on Barack Obama, it's going to make any difference. Not at this juncture in the nation's history. I don't think the nation would be able to stand that. Telling Barack, I want you to get a hold of this, and again, it's not a racist statement or a bigoted statement, it's an honest statement. Telling Barack Obama, sorry, you're not qualified constitutional by virtue of where you were born to be president. Sorry, you're going to have to withdraw. Or telling Barack Obama, well, you know, we've got some information on these wiretaps that, I don't know, it doesn't look good for you with the Governor Blagojevich, and I'm afraid you're just going to have to back out of this thing, and we're going to have to do something. Telling Barack Obama he is not going to be president of the United States of America at this point in time in our nation's history is like the U.S. government saying, well, we've decided to rescind that Emancipation Proclamation. Hope you're not too upset. It's not going to happen. It's not. He's going to be president, and that's that. It just depends on how many people are going to fall by the wayside in the wake of him coming from the Senate, going to the presidency. Your call straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Rick Roberts sitting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. I want to remind you once again about michaelsavage.com. Okay, well, I've upset some people, but, you tell me what would happen to this country. What would happen in every major city if somebody comes up and says, well, Barack Obama, you know, love to have you in the Oval Office, but you're not a natural citizen, you're not qualified constitutionally, or Blagojevich and Barack Obama, yeah, we've got some strange calls back and forth. We're just going to have to hold off on that inauguration until we figure this out. Now, you tell me what would happen in this country, okay? I mean, just forget it. If you're one of those, you know, hammer Obama, it's not going to happen. He's going to be president, period, end of story. But it's a natural progression of dialogue that it would go to Obama. He was an Illinois state senator. And the statement he made did more. Honestly, as I look at this thing, I think what Barack Obama said when he shouldn't have opened his mouth in the first place about, I don't know the guy, I haven't talked to the guy, I don't know, I don't know, my dog. Play that real quick. This tells me more about Barack Obama's involvement than anything I could speculate. Listen to this. Where he talks about I, we, they, it's this one little, I don't know why he did this, why he took the question, but he did. And this speaks volumes to me.
Hold on a second, guys. I'll just answer this one question. I had no contact with the governor or his office, and so we were not. I was not aware of what was happening.
I was not aware. I don't know anything. And like everybody else in the state of Illinois, I'm saddened and sobered, whatever that means. I'm saddened and sobered. He would have been better off just not to even address the issue. Albany, New York, Carl, thank you for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Carl?
Oh, hello, Rick. Boy, am I in good company tonight, I'll tell you. Hey, listen, the Governor Blagojevich has some problems, but let's have some compassion for our newest governor of New York State, Governor Patterson. He has problems, too, and challenges. He's got to get rid of a senatorial seat, too. I mean, give it away. I mean, sell it.
Sell it.
Well, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
For about a week. Caroline Kennedy comes to mind.
Oh, no.
Over and over again.
You know who else is interested in that seat? Carl, you probably know this, being from Albany. You know who else? The nanny.
Huh?
The nanny. The nanny is Fran Drescher, the actress, the nanny?
Yes, but Rick, guess what? That only happened today. Governor Patterson found out about Blagojevich's problem and locked himself in a men's room at the Capitol for 3 hours.
Maybe he had a bad lunch. You don't know.
They swear, okay, it wasn't because he was scared or upset or anything. He couldn't find the doorknob. That's what he's saying, okay? So anyway, that's when Fran Drescher's name came out. Now, that's very interesting, huh?
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous. I'm tired of all these idiots wrapped in morons coming out I think I could run for office. Well, why not? They see stuff happening like Blagojevich. And what happens to the American people? What do they say? Well, they couldn't. Here, you could almost finish the sentence for me, Carl. Well, they couldn't do any worse. They couldn't do any worse. You know, I've said it 1,000 times. We put more time, money, and resources in dispensing lottery tickets at the local convenience store than we do in protecting the integrity of a vote in the United States of America. I mean, we truly, truly do. And we finally get to the point where we should not be picking the lesser of two evils. I mean, and I've said it before, you know, as a conservative, I want the liberals to do their dead level best to put up the best guy they can, because I don't want my guy phoning it in. And that's true for every level of government, whether it's a mayor, a governor, a president, whatever it happens to be. We shouldn't be going, well, yeah, go ahead. You couldn't do any worse than the other guy. What? Excuse me. It's the United States of America. It's worth protecting. The people that live here are worth protecting. And that means the Constitution. That means our rule of law. If you don't like the law, try it. You know, there are ways you can change it. You know, but I can't believe we're getting down to this. Fran Drescher from The Nanny? Yeah. Yeah. I want to be senator. Yeah. How you doing? Yeah. Well, she couldn't do any worse than Blagojevich. Please. Let's not go down that road politically. You know, I think we're a little better than that, or we should be. Chicago, Ray. Ray, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. How you doing, Ray?
Doing fine, Rick. Thanks. I want to make a comment, but before I do that, I want to agree with you wholeheartedly that I don't think that Obama is going to be in any way, shape, or form implicated. No one wants to be associated with interfering with with a history-making presidential election. And on top of it, like you said, I think you alluded to it before, nobody's wants to see rioting or any kind of repercussions on our streets.
That's true. And it's not going to happen. He will be president, and it really doesn't matter at this point what happens.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I want to move to this Blagojevich thing. They came down on him with mainly 3 counts, I believe. One of them is this the $8 million to the Children's Memorial Hospital, and also the selling of the seat. Now, the selling of the seat, yes, but it's a conspiracy. A clever lawyer can get him off of that. This guy's been investigated for 5 years in this state. And is that the best they could come up with, or do you think that they're waiting for other to come down with other charges?
No, you know, we addressed this a little earlier with another caller, and it's a very good, very valid, very intuitive issue that you bring up. You know, my first response to this, you know, I listened to it with you this morning, was, wait a minute, why didn't they let this thing play itself out just a little more and get a few more people, maybe, you know, the brown paper bag full of cash and all that? And then if you think about it, these guys aren't stupid. They're not stupid people, and they know their way around the Capitol building. They probably didn't do it or did it at this time because they don't need any more. They probably have enough on the wiretaps and the bugs, and, you know, who knows whether somebody, tripped a trigger on something or rolled over on somebody else. They probably have everything they need at this moment in time, but they haven't released it. We only know what they released in that news conference this morning.
Right. Another thing I wanted to also mention was the fact that locally here in Chicago and also on national news, I've heard newscasters and people come on expressing surprise and astonishment. And living on.
What are you watching, PBS?
I've heard this on local channels here in Chicago, and also I even heard it on Fox News talking about bewilderment and befuddlement, and this is a surprise, this is a shock. Who are they kidding? What have they been listening to? This guy's been investigated for 5 years, implicated in so many different things, or at least allegedly implicated, that you know, it was a surprise that he wasn't touched up until this point.
Well, you know, probably, Ray, I would assume, and I'm speculating, I don't have any inside information, I would guess he hasn't been touched up to this point because it probably extends this corruption, and this insidious corruption. I mean, children's hospitals and the violation of the public trust, this probably extends way beyond what we even can imagine at this point in time. And I'm sure they've got it. I'm sure they're lining it up. You know, it's and good. I'm glad. We need to make examples of these people. They need to go to jail. You know, we need to turn things around in this country when it comes to politicians. You know, Ray, you've probably heard this. These psychobabble experts, they come on, you know, these 50-year-old guys with the ponytails probably rode a longboard into the interview, and they try to explain all this away as though it's a disease. You know, Clinton had a disease. No, he didn't. He just couldn't keep his rocket in his pocket. He didn't have a disease. You know, but they try to explain this in some rationale. Well, you know, the politicians, you know, they're full of themselves and they're isolated. The poor people, they're isolated from the common folk. Yeah, they're isolated from the common folk, and that being ostracized from common folk, well, they really don't know where to be and what to do and what is their reality. So they get this entire narcissistic approach to life, and, you know, God bless them. They're just trying to survive in this bubble. Bull crap. They're evil people consumed by greed that can't control their emotional urges. That's the problem. You know, don't give me this, you know, psychobabble free to be you and me junk about, well, you know, it's really like a disease. It's like being on heroin's what it is. It's, oh, yeah, he's just, you know, he's a political junkie. A heroin junkie, political junkie. You know what? I'm not buying that for a second. You know, if you are a person of low moral character, have no ethics, and are consumed by greed, you don't care who you step on, whether it's a children's hospital or violating the public trust or trying to extort money. It doesn't matter. It's not a disease. It just means you got a bad person. And in some cases, you have an evil person. Call it what it is. Be honest about it. The least you could be is honest about it. Sacramento, John. John, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi. Rick, I just want to just explain myself as far as the people that have voted for Bush and voted for Obama and everybody else out there. I think that it's a blemishment to our integrity that we would have people voting for people that have disgraced our country to the point that you know, we got people that just don't even care about the simple people. You know, they just want to look at themselves and oh man, I'm sorry.
No, John. Basically, I think what you're saying is we need to hold people accountable for their actions, right, wrong, or indifferent. An ethics bill, perhaps. Maybe harshen the punishment for people that violate the public trust. You're doing fine. You're doing fine. But that's basically what you're saying. When you get somebody that is so self-absorbed, so narcissistic, so unwilling to serve the people that they swore an oath to serve us. And when they basically get to a point in their lives where none of that matters anymore, it's all about themselves and their emotional urges. Whether, you know, I'll tell you, John, one time I did an interview, and it was Dick Morris at the time, and it was right after Dick Morris had all his big sexual problems. And, you know, how do I explain this? I'm not beholden to many folks. I'm beholden to my kids, obviously. But aside from that, I don't throw softballs. I'm not Larry King. Hey, Dick Morris, how are you? I really like your hair. I don't do that kind of thing. So he sat down, and I'm sure he was fully prepared to start talking about, you know, Clinton or this or that. And I looked squarely in the face, John, because we'd just gone, you know, he just dragged the entire country through all this mess. And I looked him square in the face, and I said, so, Mr. Morris, thanks for being here, blah, blah, blah. Are you a sex addict? And he looks at me, doesn't blink. No mouth movement, perfect body language, which means he was being honest with me. Long pregnant pause, and then he goes, well, yeah, Rick, I guess I am. Good. I know what I'm dealing with now, and we can move on. And I think that's what you're saying, John. You just want the people to be honest. If they're bank robbers, fine. If they're banditos, fine. Just tell you what you're dealing with so you can have an option. John, I appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. John, thank you very much. More of your calls straight ahead. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Rick Roberts, setting in for Michael Savage. Michael, thank you for the opportunity. Once again, want to remind you, make some time, you know, sit down with your sparkling beverage or your coffee or whatever, and go to michaelsavage.com. Plan to spend some time there. You'll want to. The hour-by-hour breaking news of Illinois Governor Blagojevich. And it's, you know, I should be shocked. I should be surprised. I'm outraged. I'm outraged anytime things like this happen, but I'm not shocked, and that bothers me. That, you know, it does. I should be shocked. We should all be, but we're not. And, you know, I hate it that he makes me feel that way. But I want you to go to michaelsavage.com. All the breaking information about this, and obviously the natural progression of dialogue is going to lead to Barack Obama's house. Not that he's been connected in any way, shape, or form. All right? But are you surprised? Probably not. What needs to be done? You probably don't know. You know, and the thing that I hate the most, every time something like this happens, well, all politicians are crooked. Well, you know, if that's what you truly believe, and I'm not indicting you for your beliefs, but if you truly, truly, truly believe that, then we deserve what we get, because we hold no one to any accountable standard whatsoever. Kansas City, Diane, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Sorry. I'm a little bit nervous.
No, don't be. No, you're fine.
I'll probably be even more nervous after I say this. I think, though, that if you, like, look at the big picture or look at it like it's a puzzle, beginning with the first bailouts and when they started, it kind of started a large mob war over our tax money. And I think when the car manufacturers didn't get their share, they started handing over people at the bottom, like this Illinois governor. And maybe, you know, maybe if we just let them go, they'll destroy themselves, you know, because there's nobody else big enough to bring them down.
I think I see what you're talking about, Diane. The mob war, I like that, the mob war over our tax money. You know, that's a pretty accurate statement, the mob war over our tax money. You know, obviously the bailouts, everybody knows where the bailout started, Diane. They started during the Carter administration. Well, the genesis for the bailouts that we're experiencing now started with the Carter administration and the CRA, the Community Reinvestment Act. Anytime the government tells a lending institution you're going to be penalized if you start asking people for all kinds of documentation about work history and credit history, and those are outdated things to be asking people. You need to start making more loans in urban areas and to minorities, and if you don't, you're going to be penalized. They don't care. You know, they're getting their money. It's backed by the government, they think. The brokers don't care. They're making their money. The people don't care. They're getting a house, whether they stay in it or not. So, Diane, your mob analogy, I think it works here. I don't know. Maybe somebody gave him up. Generally speaking, that's usually what happens. This guy's been investigated. I don't know what happened, and maybe we'll never know. But I don't know. When you dance with the devil, Diane, this is generally what happens. Bob in Chicago. Bob, thanks for waiting. You're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Maybe Blagojevich should have put the Senate seat on eBay. He would have got a little...
Yeah, one Illinois Senate seat available, bidding up in 2 days. Yeah.
But what I just want to say is I'm a union member. I've worked in Chicago for about 11 years. I worked for the city of Chicago about 8 years. This corruption is not just with the politicians. The branches go all the way straight through to the workers of the unions, the non-union workers, and the businesses. The wealth trickles down too far for the corruption to go away. That's one of the reasons why I got out of it and I moved out of the city of Chicago. The taxes are way too high, and it's just the city of Chicago really needs to have someone come in and clean house.
Well, Bob, I said it earlier. I don't know if you heard her, but anytime you have a systematic political machine that is corrupt from top to bottom, and you have it continually. I mean, Chicago, good Lord, you know, much of the perception is accurate. It's one crooked politician after another crooked politician. This is two governors in a row, back to back, one Republican, one Democrat. It looks like even if 10% of what's been alleged is true, Blagojevich is going to jail. Maybe he can get his cellmate will be the former governor. You generally can't do that unless other people involved. Generally, it's law enforcement. And then, of course, you know, extends into, as you say, the unions. Of course, the unions are corrupt. You know, you can't get Guido and the Bent Nose Boys down on the docks unless there's a little something-something in the paycheck every day. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course they're corrupt. But it's got to stop. It's got to stop someplace. Well, all right. MichaelSavage.com for the hour-by-hour breaking news. MichaelSavage.com. There'll be more to talk about. I promise you that. This is Rick Roberts setting in for Michael Savage. You're on the Savage Nation.
Savage.